Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. This is Gilbert Joy, your host. The Live Your Edge podcast is where I interview 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs, influencers, and successful business owners who in their own right were able to create a life on their own terms. We talk a lot about stepping out of your comfort zone, but what does it really mean to be in discomfort and how you can expand your so-called comfort zone by being able to constantly test and challenge yourself. Today, we'll be speaking with Kelsey Moore. Kelsey helps entrepreneurs and business professionals powerfully, authentically, and comfortably communicate with their audiences through a lens to create genuine connection, trust, and sales. Today, we're gonna be talking specifically about the camera, how to use your camera, how to set up your camera, what kind of lighting structure to use, system to use, and so much more. Because nowadays, everyone is at home, they're conducting meetings online, they're using Zoom, Skype, and so forth. And in order to correctly convey a powerful presence, you need to be good on camera. How do you do that? Well, listen in for our episode with Kelsey, and you will find out. So join me in welcoming Kelsey More. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. I'm here with Kelsey Moore, who is a on-camera business coach and also a professional actress. Kelsey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
So, given the situation in the global situation now, where everyone more or less people are working from home, and some are going on Zoom or video conferencing for the first time, some are starting to conduct their work online, what have you noticed in this space? Of course, there's a lot more people, you know, asking about what types of equipment to use, what types of software and settings. What has been the most common question that you're getting these days when it comes to getting ready for the camera, pretty much?
Sure. Yeah. So usage has shot up tremendously. I mean, I think Zoom's users went from, oh my God, what was it, 10 million to 200 million or something, or just like, I don't know, drastic numbers that completely like 10x'd overnight when COVID happened. So it made it so apparent that within, you know, weeks, everyone was suddenly using video instead of just like a few people here and there, maybe on a conference call, something like that. Maybe if you're growing your social media that you know you need to post some videos, but maybe not doing enough of it. And so now it's like everybody's on Zoom all the time. Everyone is really craving that connection and that really human and personable connection, which only comes through that video communication that's second best to being in person with someone, which especially right now, we can't be in person with people. Like, we need to have that connection. Like, we really feel seen, we really feel heard and understood in our business, when we're talking about our message, when we're communicating with our audience, when we're working with different companies. And it's just completely had exponential growth in the last few, you know, the last 8 weeks. And I think the biggest thing is, honestly, it's like people are wondering, what are the basics? Just like the very simple basics, because they're like, suddenly now people are seeing, you know, my desk is set up in a way where the messy kitchen is behind me, or I don't have any lighting, or I don't have any sound. And then the second thing that comes up is just the nerves and the hyper awareness of like, oh my God, I don't want to be on camera all the time. Like, I'm not good at it. And it comes in a lot of questions of like the self-doubt and the self-questioning if it's something that they even like can do or can handle. And it becomes a stressful thing to people instead of something that can be really humanizing and personable and connecting and a really beautiful thing that they can use to grow their relationships with their audience and the companies they work with.
Awesome. So thanks for the introduction. And let's take that, you know, one step at a time. And the first thing that people are probably wondering when they get online and then they need to start doing these video conferences and just showing up on a camera is what kind of equipment to use. And I would make it a bit more apparent where Some, yeah, of course you would fix the, you know, the gear, like the if it's a webcam or it's the microphone, the lights and all of that stuff. What do you feel would make the biggest difference if someone's starting out? What would that one thing be? Would it be the lighting? Would it be the camera? Would it be the microphone? Mm-hmm. If you had to choose one thing that they can do today,
yeah,
that can just completely transform their setup.
Great question. I want you to have all of them set up, but I really, really just had to choose one thing. It's lighting. Make sure that we can see you. We have to be able to see your face, at least if the bare none, like if your sound isn't working, if we can see you to at least see you gesturing that like we can't hear you, then at least it'll tell us. And it's extremely frustrating when you're trying to, you know, look someone in the eye, have that eye contact, have that connection, and you just can't see them. They're completely hidden in the dark, or they're not thinking, not paying any mind to their camera placement. So it's like showing us their chin or the top of their head and stuff like that. If you're on a Zoom call, let's just pay attention to it. And then of course, if you're making, you know, social media videos, any videos for you or your brand, then obviously you must be the primary focal point. You must be the thing that is most obviously seen and visible to us as the audience to watch it.
So when it comes to like lighting, some people don't have the natural light from outside. Like, you know, they might not be next to their window. There might be in the room where there's the windows are far away and they don't have that natural source of light. So what options do they have? And, you know, if they were to buy external lights,
absolutely. There's a bunch of different price variations with lighting too that keep it pretty simple. I mean, I always think start simple, keep your equipment simple. And I'll share just a couple of easy ways to do this. And obviously the window is great. If you do have a good window, natural light is gorgeous. And sometimes we're filming at night. Sometimes we're doing calls on the other side of the world. It's, you know, going to be dark in one place, or it's not going to be an opportune time. Or if you're facing your window, everything behind you might be really messy or distracting or sharing too much of your personal life that you don't want people seeing. And so what I would recommend is if you can just order online, or if places are open, like go to a local shop and get just daylight bulbs. And if you can, like on Amazon, they have pretty inexpensive travel ring lights. So they're smaller, and it's maybe like a five inch mini ring light that has a clamp for your phone that also attaches to a vice clip so that you can attach it to any desk or book stand. So it's very movable. You can put it up anywhere. They also have ones that are maybe like 13 inches wide that your phone can sit in between them, or it can just kind of hover right behind your webcam on your laptop. And they're desktop ones. So they're maybe like $20, $30 for those ones versus, you know, saying you have to go and get like the beautiful high-end, you know, Diva ring light that's going to be, you know, $300 for professional lighting. You can, by all means, it's a great setup to have, but they have these smaller, super movable options that are way less expensive. Just a note about if you're going to a shop, like a hardware store or Lowe's, Home Depot, something like that, to pick up some lights and you just really want to DIY this, I think that'll actually end up being more expensive. I haven't tried this route, but I have some clients that do this, maybe because they already had some bulbs in their garage or something. But they're the little workman's light clamps. So it's those metal, what are those called? It's just a metal bulb, or like it holds the bulb in it. Why can't I think of what those are called? I don't know if you can picture them in your head. It's not video, so I can't pull something up and show you, but they're just these little clamps that kind of you can clip onto to anything. They're just the workman's light clamps, and you just want to purchase and screw in the daylight bulbs for those, and then put some sort of a wax paper or a parchment paper over it so that it just diffuses it a little bit. So you're not getting really harsh glares and bright spots, bright glows. It'll just soften it, diffuse it, and give really like that nice beauty lighting. Now, of course, if you're getting a little ring light from Amazon or something, or, you know, any online shop, that's already going to have a diffuser on it. It's just a little plastic ring that goes over the bulb. So it's creating that really nice daylight look with the beauty lighting that softens everything.
So for ring lights, I have a thing that not like opposing the ring lights personally, because I wear glasses and
yes.
the ring lights don't work really well with that, because it just shows up in my glasses.
Yep.
The little circles, the halos.
Yep, it's so true. You either have to really adjust your angles with that, or just get either a flat LED, just like one of the LED panels that's more of a straight line that you can put one on either side of you so that you can get the glow, or you can do a full 3-point lighting system. What's your current setup that you have?
So I have a flat LED, I have a light box, and then I have the window, which is on the left-hand side of myself.
Nice. Good. So a 3-point lighting system. Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is, I'm always confused. Like personally, I'm a bit confused on the light. Is sometimes I get it right, and then sometimes it's just overexposed. And it mm-hmm. might just be the camera settings, because I play around with those, and then sometimes it just really in the background looks overexposed. Whereas like, you know, on me, it looks fine. But then like, because the walls are white, so it kind of feels like there's a lot of light in the background.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't make you look glowy when something's really overexposed, like you just kind of look like you disappear into the background a little and it's really glowy and bright.
Yeah.
As long as that's not happening, it's probably not too distracting for your viewers. I'd be curious to see it. But what can happen sometimes is, yes, either like camera settings or something changed, but it's usually the color balance that's happening from the window. So if you're filming at different times during the day, if it's, you know, getting darker outside and you still have your LED panel on full brightness, that's going to be probably too harsh of a light, where you'd want to turn that down, soften it a little bit, versus when it's like full daylight brightness coming in through the window, you need to have your LED lights full blast so that it's strong enough to create the light on the right-hand side of you if you said your window was on your left-hand side.
Oh, okay. I get it. Because I'm used to having it at full brightness at like 5600K, like for those listeners don't know what it is, it's like the daylight setting, right, on the on the lights. And
I know, I'm like, I try to not go too techie complicated with it. I'm like, just plug in a light, you'll be fine.
Yeah. So,
most of them just have a dial that you can just kind of, you know, turn lower and higher. Yeah. And just start to see, you know, in the reflection of your camera when you watch it back, or if you're in selfie mode, if it's just really blown out where it's way too harsh, are you losing the facial features? Do your cheeks start to blend in where it's like,
yeah,
can't tell your features anymore? Do your eyebrows start to, become white? Like that's the stuff you want to pay attention to, because then that means it's way too bright.
Yeah, so that means that I should match anyone should match the light from the LEDs with the light that's coming from outside. Is that correct?
Because yeah, it really needs to be as strong as it. So a lot of times, like I film with a window on my left-hand side as well, but I'll still close all the blinds, because when you're in the daytime, you know, that light coming through the window is still just so bright. You know, it's still just creating a ton of light. So I'll have my ring light and then maybe even a supporting fill light on my right-hand side so that I can have something that's strong enough, even with the full brightness of a ring light, which is a ton, you know, they're so bright, but I'll still sometimes need to have another additional supporting fill light of a daylight bulb that I can attach somewhere over on my right-hand side just to help balance and offset the full brightness that comes from that window. And you're just checking your camera. Like, is it really blowing me out? Is it really washing me out? Do I still have all my facial features? And usually you do. You just have a really nice, it just looks very bright where you are, but not overexposed, not blown out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the process of changing the light setting so that I'm putting the LED panel on the right side. I'm putting the light box in front of me behind the camera. And then I have the window light. So I'm thinking whether to do that.
That's a good idea. Give it a try. Test it. Yeah.
Yeah. My friends also have been telling me for the I don't know if it was the fill light, to have like an LED panel behind me pointing at the wall, so mm-hmm. that it creates separation from yep. the, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Oh, I like it. I mean, if you guys have the ability to build a more robust lighting system, this is really cool. You should absolutely do it, because sometimes what can happen is all of the light will hit us as the speaker and the primary focus, which is your number one goal. Like, we first and foremost need to make sure that you're lit, that we can see you. But then, yes, we can get really weird shadows, really kind of off color lighting, especially if it's a white background, or it can look really dark, or you can have really strong shadows behind you if you don't put a fill light. So that light that's just going to fill in the, you know, literally just be a light to fill in the darkness in the space that you put behind you, that's going to light up your backdrop, so that yeah. it's going to help balance and offset some of the strength of the lights that's coming directly from you. Especially if you have a 3-point lighting system where it's really strong in front of you, I would probably get that supporting light that you can put behind you.
So that would be 4 lights, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we can go crazy. We can get, there's 6-point lighting systems, 9-point lighting systems. Like, you can
have, I try not to do anything above 3.
Yeah. And try, I mean, you can play with it and see if, you know, maybe if you just move the LED light panel just behind like your right shoulder a little bit, where it's not pointing forward, where it's pointing backwards behind you. Give that a shot. It might be strong enough. I just don't know how, you know, without seeing it, like how strong that's going to be, if it's going to be a powerful enough light, but it might work. I mean, try it with your system that you have so far, because with the window and the light box up in front of you on the left and front side, of that little supporting light to fill in the back might be enough.
Yeah, that's something to try for sure. What do you think about like having the fill light, having like color, like
I don't like that. Certain brands, it really fits for it, like putting a different filter, yeah, color tone or something on it. Just make sure that by no means is it a warm, like a soft yellow bulb that you'd use for like a regular lamp. Those just really don't look good at all, and it really messes with the color, and everything will be, I get like a yellow tint to it, and it's not a good look. But if your brand is like, I want a cool blue light or something just like glowing behind me, then do it by all means.
Yeah, that's this light itself is an entire topic when it comes to mm-hmm. camera setups, and I was not expecting to go that technical with the lights either, right? And I imagine our listeners are right. probably, if they haven't touched upon lights before, they probably might be a little bit confused right now which lights to yep. use.
You want to be well lit and balanced, where you're not, you know, where we can see your face, we can see your features, we can see your expressions, and really, we really want to be able to see your eyes. You know, that's kind of where we, if you can even get, I like some of the ring light. If you're not wearing glasses, it is really challenging because you would just get the direct reflection, but where you can even see a little bit of the halo in your eyes, just really like brightens them, lights them up, and just makes you so easy to see and connect with.
Definitely. So what would the next step be? Like, you got the lights set up. So of the things that you could do, yeah. what would awesome. The next step be?
Sound. Absolutely sound. And you don't need, again, I always like start simple, start small, start with whatever is easiest and fits your budget. Don't overcomplicate things, but just please do have some sort of microphone, something. And you can get a wired a little lavalier mic that clips onto your shirt for like $10 on Amazon. You know, it doesn't need to be something fancy or expensive, but if you at least have, most lav mics are omnidirectional, so that means they're picking up sound from every direction, which isn't ideal, but At least this way, if it's clipped onto your shirt, it's so much closer to your mouth instead of you trying to use an omnidirectional mic that's probably lesser quality on your phone that's going to be, you know, a few feet away, or, you know, speaking directly into your computer, which has, I mean, pretty much all computers have terrible microphones. So it's like, that's not good equipment. So please have something external, just depending on if you're using your phone or your computer for your videos. That would depend like what type of mic you would get based on what it could plug into. But I mean, if you just do, yeah, a clip-on lav mic that has a regular headphone, a headphone jack, that can plug into most laptops and then most phones. And if your phone has a lightning connection for iPhones, then just get an adapter, a little dongle that you can plug it into. And so that mic could be used on either device.
Yeah, I remember getting a Lavalier mic that only plugged into the iPhone, and I regretted that. I wasn't able to plug into anything else.
Yeah. It's better to have like an adapter, a dongle, if you can. But then if you're, so the next option for that, if you want to get a little more clear and directed sound, is going to be a condenser mic. And that just means it's really picking up sound from one spot. It has a front and a back, and it just has more focused, localized sound. And you can get condenser mics for your phone. You can get them for your computer that will just, you know, plug in. That's a USB plug-in. You don't need to have the more high-end equipment of, I think it's like the XLR.
Yeah.
Where you need to have just additional equipment. If you're a professional podcaster, that's probably a good route to go, at least eventually, but you don't have to start there. Just really make sure that we can hear you clearly. There's not a lot of other distracting noises. If you can, a closet's a great place to sit in to get a better sound, to get a quieter atmosphere, because all of the clothes muffle outside sounds. And
place that so if you like to like sit in the closet.
Yep. Not for videos though. This is just sound. Hold on. And nobody wants to see that. But if you're like, you know, you have phone calls and you're like, everybody's home right now because of the quarantine, and like all of my neighbors are so noisy and loud and you're frustrated with it. If you're on calls or you're doing podcast episodes and you're really focusing on your sound, really do go sit in your closet. It's almost like having a sound booth because all of the clothing muffles external sounds. But if you're on camera, please don't do that. Sit somewhere with the good lighting. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's interesting. And I like to add that for condenser mics, you like for, especially when you're speaking into the mic, it's cardioid is probably the best setting. Some mics have multiple settings. But generally speaking, I believe the option is available on all the condenser mics. Yeah. So, and another thing for the mics is also like is having like a pop filter.
Yeah. Yes.
For the sound, like for the plosive sounds, you know, the P sounds, and awesome. Yeah. So we start with the lighting, making sure that the lights are good. Then you make sure that the sound is good. By when do you actually move on to say the webcam and the actual like video quality?
Sure. So a lot of the built-in webcams on a lot of laptops are not great quality. They're not fantastic. So if you're using your computer for a lot of your videos, I just recommend getting an external webcam, like a Logitech, something that films in at least 1080p. And it doesn't need to be 4K. You know, we have a lot of devices that don't even play that yet. But as long as it's 1080p, that will look like good quality. A lot of the new smartphones that everyone has can shoot in great quality. You can film in 4K on a lot of those devices. And so that's a great place to start. And I really, unless you have a team and somebody there to help you with like your focus and your whole filming process, I wouldn't recommend getting like a DSLR or something to film on. It's just gonna make the process so much more complicated and time consuming for you if you're doing it by yourself. So I would say maybe the other option would be like using some GoPros to set up some different angles and have a different external camera.
Oh, so instead of using the external camera, you use a GoPro.
Well, because I mean, that is still an external camera, but it's going to be a little bit easier for like grabbing autofocus and stuff than it is going to be using something like a DSLR.
I'm just curious, are you able to plug in a GoPro to a computer so that it operates like a webcam?
What's interesting, the one that I've used, I don't do that. I just set it up as a side supporting camera for like profile shots. So I'm not sure.
This is quite interesting. So you say that you set the camera up is like a second camera, right?
Yep.
So what kind of like, how do you set it up as a second camera?
Just on a tripod, and then it just films to the SD card that's in there. And that's really only if we're doing like some sort of promo video and we really need to have like a cutaway or something a little bit more kind of advanced in there. I do 99% of my videos just straight on, straight to camera, use my phone for most of them. It keeps it simple. It looks good. It's building connection with your audience when you're really delivering to the lens and making the connection with the camera instead of interview style profile shots. But sometimes, again, if you're really doing either an interview style, if you're doing an interview type video, whether there's actually another person there interviewing you or not, that's a question and answer type format. So if you're there like answering questions about your business, you might not want it all to be delivered direct to camera where it's just like, here's question number two that I'm going to answer for you. Like, and it can feel a little weird. And so that's where you might want to do an interview style where you're either looking slightly off to the side of the lens, or you have that side profile camera, or you're just using a secondary camera to pick up B-roll footage. So maybe you're splicing in, again, this is like if you're doing a promo video, sharing information about your business, you know, if you're splicing in images of your work, of what you do. So let's say you like run a salon or something, this is an example, you'd have B-roll footage of you working with clients and in the salon, and then you or your editor could intersplice that in with you answering the interview questions about your company.
Okay. Interesting. Because I thought what you meant was like, I've always wondered like if it's possible to connect two cameras to the computer and then be able to see what both cameras are seeing.
Oh, it might be. I'm not sure. I've never done that. I'm not a videographer, so I don't know.
I'm actually curious as to whether that is possible. I did read somewhere that it was possible. But I guess it involves like tweaking settings and something like that. But that would be awesome.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to simultaneously record from both cameras at the same time at two different angles so that you don't need to like, you know, pull out the SD card from one of them and then have to, you know, port it into the computer and then like all of that. I thought like for editing purposes, it would make it like easier for those that are shooting promo videos or even like courses where they use multiple angles.
Yeah, I don't know. I would definitely, you know, if you're using a videographer, if you have a professional and using that support, they would know and they'd be able to help get all that set up. If you're just running stuff by yourself, like, you know, for a personal brand, I feel like that's just, unless you're really into figuring out the tech side and equipment side and like the videography aspect of things, I wouldn't mess with it unless you're really passionate about it, about figuring out the tech.
Most people just want to make it work and then just have everything functional and to get started.
Exactly. And that's really why, like, I teach your on-camera presence. You know, I really teach authentic video so that people do not, because there's almost, in such rare cases, importance of having really, like, fancy editing or really a lot of cutaways or really cool spliced-together videos. If you're building a personal brand or representing your company, your brand, your business, what you do, what you offer, and how you solve problems for people, you need to be able to communicate that in a way that's passionate, that's clear, that's concise, that serves the that keeps the viewer at the forefront and share in an authentic way where people feel like they're in a conversation and not in a sales pitch. That's the stuff that has to be learned and communicated well on camera. That's you showing up and with your charm, your confidence, your charisma, your ability to communicate powerfully and in a compelling way to move people into action. And that has nothing to do with how many cameras you have, you know, what's your setup like. But stuff is distracting if you don't have the basic setup in a way that supports you. Because if somebody's focused on, why can't I see them? Or, man, the sound is garbage. I can't hear anything. Like, or it looks just crappy and really unprofessional. That's going to be distracting and pull away from your ability to speak in a compelling and captivating way.
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to having that presence, I believe that the first thing I hear from people when it comes to, you know, getting on camera for the first time is, well, I heard it today actually from a client. They said, you know, they were really scared. They were really scared. And what would one piece of advice you would give to someone that, you know, is the first, you know, in the first few times they get on camera, like what kind of advice would you be able to give them to start their journey?
Absolutely. So it's really two things that if you nail this, you will start to feel so much better about getting on camera. And that's know who you're talking to and know why you're talking to them. And that sounds kind of simple, but I really need people to have that solid answer. Because if you know who you're talking to, if you know that you are showing up to serve your audience, your ideal audience, like your soulmate clients, the people that you love working with, the people that you get passionate about, the people that are waiting eagerly to hear from you because they know that you can help them. If you're speaking to that person, if you're speaking to them and know that they are your audience, you already have, they already have so much compassion for you. So you already have a good in with them, right? Where it's like, okay, if I flub, if I mess up, if something happens, they still are excited that I'm here because they are looking for the solutions that I provide. And it builds a trust within yourself and it builds a compassion and a grace for your delivery. And all of those things lessen nerves. Because confidence is simply an emotion that we can start to feel. And if you build that process in, that will up your confidence massively. The second thing is knowing why you're there. Why are you talking to them? Why are you going through the effort and the pain and the struggle of figuring this out and making the video? If you have that locked in, if you really know why, then the importance of your message, the importance of what you're saying and sharing and doing becomes greater than yourself, becomes greater than your fears, and it begins to really instill the courage. So if you can back up your doubt in your mind instead of, and shove courage in there instead of it, that's going to help increase that confidence when you're speaking, and all of those things lessen the nerves.
Knowing who you're speaking to and why you're speaking to them.
Yep.
Love it.
And of course we have, you know, a bunch of, you know, vocal warm-ups and specific techniques you can use like EFT tapping to help with nerves and work through the fears and all those things. But that's just really the primary advice that I give people when they're like, I'm just feeling really nervous and I want to get a camera. It's because they're stuck in their head with their own self-doubt, just thinking about how they're feeling and wondering if they're good enough and their own self-judgments, rather than focusing on who are they serving and why are they there.
Yeah. Today is like, if people haven't gone on camera yet, not just for going on meetings or calls, but to actually use it to build your brand, to amplify your presence, then you got to do something about it, because
exactly
it's going to only become more competitive with time. And many people are starting to realize that they need to get their message out there. And there's so much inside of them that is waiting to reveal themselves. But then because they haven't mustered the courage to go on the camera yet, it's in a way inhibiting their progress. But there is a solution. Yeah. And we did talk about it today. Just take the first few steps and make sure that the lighting is correct. Make sure the sound is correct. And then finally make sure that the video is clear and correct. And then for sure, You got to know who you're speaking to and why you're speaking to them. And having all of these elements will help you, you know, start to get that presence. Mm-hmm. And for everything else, there's people can reach out to you and learn how you were approached that to help them get to the next level with their brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in conclusion, for those that want to learn more about how to build up a on-camera presence, what are some of the resources that you recommend for them to check out?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would love you guys to come hang out with me over on Instagram. Come say hi over there. That's where I spend most of my time, share a lot of free information. And any of the, you know, complimentary trainings, anything that I have will always get posted there. So come on Instagram at Kelsey_Moore. And right now I do have a free 3-part video training series that really walks you through exactly like the beginner steps of how to move through this and really focusing on, you know, how is it that you deliver that authentic video with your just true presence and your unique charisma and charm, and how do you work through the fears and then actually build in an effective video marketing plan for yourself. So if that's something that you're interested in building your brand with, definitely come over to Instagram and grab that link. It's in link in bio, or I'm sure Gilbert here will share it, and DM me, let me know what your takeaways are, what your questions are.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes, and everyone that's listening that wants to grow their brand, check Kelsey's page out. Appreciate you coming on the show, Kelsey. It's been awesome. And it's amazing that we have the technology now, both through like cloud, you know, cloud technologies, internet and so mm-hmm. forth, that we're speaking on the other side, you know, from opposite ends of the globe.
It's so cool. Yeah. Anyhow, I love that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.